Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am ecstatic to introduce you today to erotica author Lula Lisbon.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
And you're not just an erotica author. There's going to be a lot of other stuff that we're going to talk about because you're just like an interesting cat in general.
Thank you.
You are a real life lesbian.
Yes, I am.
What does that mean?
It means I'm a lesbian.
Fantastic. Real life lesbian.
It means I write about things that I probably know about. And maybe some of it is fantasy and some of it is imagination and some of it is experience. But what the ratio is, I will never tell.
Ooh, okay. So, and you say that in contrast to you feel like a lot of erotica with multiple female characters is not necessarily written by lesbians.
I would guess not. I mean, I don't know about every single other erotica author, but you know, all I can do is speak for myself. So I like to write what I know. I mean, I've been with men before, you know, before I came out, I had a long-term boyfriend. So I've done a lot of kinky stuff.
All right. So can you tell us a little bit about the things that you write about?
Well, my favorite things to write are lesbian BDSM. So there's a lot of dominance and submission, and I love voyeurism, really hot. You know, I just think like LGBT BDSM in general is sort of my favorite to write.
And is that a genre where you found there was a lack of available good material, or were there plenty and you were inspired? Or
I think that what I've been told is gay male sells the best, but in my experience, for my work, my lesbian stuff sells the best. I get a lot of searches for my butch femme work. I've hosted blog tours and stuff. I hosted Say Please by Sinclair Sexsmith, who's incidentally a really awesome person, and it's a great anthology.
So what is currently out there in the world of erotica for queer folk?
Cleus Press is probably the one that comes to mind first. They do a lot of queer stuff.
But is there like for a person who really enjoys erotica and wants it to specifically be related to queer sex, is it relatively easy to find good stuff?
I don't really think so. I mean, I think a lot of it is kind of heterocentric and, you know, like what with the whole 50 Shades of Grey thing. Ugh. Like, I feel the same. It's just terrible writing and it's just terrible ideas, and it's just, I just don't think it's well done. And my aim is to have well written, well done erotica that's hot. And, you know, if it gets me off, I would hope that it gets other people off. So
I hate talking about 50 Shades of Grey, but I feel like it's necessary because there are so many people who are, you know, intelligent and sex positive who've heard about it but haven't read it, and they want to know what is specifically wrong with it. So you definitely brought up the good point that it's just like poorly written.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's literally originally Twilight fan fiction. So I personally don't really have a lot of respect for it. I mean, I respect the success that it's had, but, you know, like artistically, I don't really have very much respect for it.
And the BDSM representation is not necessarily very accurate or very like healthy perception of what the very vibrant and active BDSM community is really like.
I've heard a lot of people, you know, saying stuff against it because they felt like it's really poorly represented in that way. So, you know, I'm not active in the BDSM community per se, but, you know, I've done things in my own bedroom, you know, and I think I speak from experience when it comes to from that. I mean, it's not like I can say that that author doesn't know what she's talking about, but it doesn't seem like she knows what she's talking about.
Fair enough. All right, so let's put that away. Let's never talk about 50 Shades of Grey on the show ever again.
Yes,
so
please.
Officially, and then we'll have a funeral for it, and then I'll pour out a 40 on top of it. All right, so you are also inspired not only by your identity and your interest in BDSM, but also by your geography.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've lived in the Philly area most of my life, so a lot of my stories are set here. I just really like the history here and the architecture here, and even the actual gay scene here is pretty good. I mean, this is where I came out, and I think if it wasn't for Philly, it would have been a lot harder. I used to live in the suburbs, and I don't think I could have come out in the suburbs. I came out living in Center City, so... it's just very inspiring all around. It's a very artistic city, and I'm a visual person, so it's easy for me to picture the action when, you know, I have it set in specific neighborhoods. So I have people, you know, in like Queen Village and, you know, different places where I actually know what it looks like, and it just sort of helps me along in my creative process.
That's fantastic. I'm always excited about that because so much of erotica is set in like there's a list of places. I mean, obviously, like Paris,
yeah,
New Orleans, like you get like these specific iconic places. You get, you know, like old cities in Europe, and I enjoy the idea of it not necessarily being New York either. It's still being a major city on the East Coast. That's also a fascinating twist. As though there's another city. That's interesting. I didn't know there were any other cities over there. What?
Yeah. Well, it's, except for my paranormal stuff, obviously, that's, you know, fantasy. If it's more contemporary, I'm definitely going to set it here just because it's easier for me. I don't think that I could write it in... If I was saying, you know, like San Francisco, I've never been there. So how can I set something there?
Okay.
At least for me.
The paranormal work, is that's also erotica? You have erotic paranormal stuff?
Yes, I do. I have a serial novel called Wolf Moon, and it's an erotic retelling of Little Red Riding Hood. I have the first part out available, but it's going to be released as a quartet as it's written. And then once it's done, I'm probably going to pad it out and re-release it, and it'll be a full novel. But I'm also going to be working on a novel for NaNoWriMo, which is National November Writing Month, this November. I don't want to say a whole lot about the plot yet, because I'm still working on it, but it's going to be a lesbian time travel romance set in Philly. Both modern day Philly and post French Revolution Philly, and a little bit of post revolution France.
Right on. So I read a lot of, and this is totally, I'm diving out my mom right now. I'm going to dive out my mom so big. Okay, so my mom, I grew up in a library essentially. Like my mom.
I did too, actually. We had a lot of books.
Yeah, I love it. I love that about my childhood and the fact that when I got to kindergarten, I was like, you guys are all stupid. You don't know how to read. And like,
I was the same way, actually.
I didn't really tell them that. I was just, you know, I was like, why are we doing this in class? Why don't you people know this?
I was the same way.
Okay, so back to diving out my mom. Yeah. So I grew up in a house full of books, which included everything, included erotica. There was a lot of Jude Devereaux. There's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I figured out as a kid the sort of formula about how many pages you needed to flip to find another scene, because I didn't really care about what was going to happen to the attractive young professional main character, like, or sometimes she was a princess, whatever. What is a good ratio in erotica?
The ratio that I use is one part setup to two parts sex.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah. So
like that's a double stuff Oreo.
That's the ratio that works for me. I average for my short stories about 5,700 words. So I would say I usually do like 1,500 of setup, and then the rest is sex, and then maybe 500 of conclusion. So, you know, I like sex. It's fun. I love to write. I love to write about sex. I love to talk about sex. I would have sex all goddamn day if I could, and if anyone could keep up with me. So
you might get dehydrated.
Well, that's what water on the side of the bed is for.
Fair enough. So in the purpose of the setup is that the place where you establish like the power differential or like the who the characters are. Like what is the point of the setup in erotica?
Well, for me, I like to spend some time on character development. A lot of people's complaints about erotica, and especially self-published erotica, is lack of character development. You don't really care about the people. And, you know, I like to care about my characters. I want you to care about my characters. And, of course, you know, I got to grab you from the beginning. So that's what my aim is, to build characters that you care about and that you want to see what happens, and they're sexy and it's just interesting, you know. I want you to be grabbed from the first sentence.
Are these based on people you know, or are these just ideas of things that you find attractive? Like, where do you find inspiration for these characters?
I think it's probably mostly more like concepts of what I find attractive. I mean, even when I write gay male, I'm gonna picture, you know, like things that I found attractive in men, and I still find men attractive. I just don't want to fuck them. But you know, like it's not like I base my characters on any one person. You know, I might take a certain characteristic from one person, and you know, a physical aspect of somebody else, and you know, I put them together. But they're unique people in my head.
So, what are some examples of characters that you have written about? Tell us about some of these people that you're friends with.
Well, in my Butch Dom Femme Slut series, we have Ruby and Jenna. Ruby is an older, sort of butch lesbian, very successful, well-off, dominant, confident, you know, sort of like from old money. She lives in Chestnut Hill. And Jenna is a younger, like, mid early 20s. She's a cute little redhead. She's submissive. She likes to be spanked. She's a graphic designer and she lives in Queens Village. So, you know, there's just sparks between the two of them. And, you know, like Jenna's sort of like pert and a little bit disobedient. And then, you know, she sort of asks for it, but then she really likes it. So, you know, and I'm all about the voyeurism. We got some voyeurism going on in that. So we have Jenna misbehaving in the back of Ruby's limo when she's getting driven to Chestnut Hill. And, you know, hot stuff happens, let me tell you.
I am so shocked to find how excited I am about knowing where these places are.
Like, I know. I think it's, I mean, it's always fun. It's always fun. I mean, it's sort of like when you're watching like Cold Case and it's set in Philly and they're talking about like, oh, this happened in Grays Ferry. And I'm like, yeah, I bet it did.
There's so few things where I get like that connection, like where I grew up. There's like nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing from where I grew up is ever represented in films. And like Philly is often used as a set to portray New York, and then other places are used to portray Philly. Like there's a lot of like not really authentic locations for a lot of places. So like you can't do that with some cities.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, I think my first sort of contact with that was The Sixth Sense, because they filmed part of it on my street where I grew up. So I just found that amazing, and then I went to the movie and I saw my street where I grew up, you know, for 10 years, and I'm like, oh my god, my street's in a movie.
So there's something like about that though, because of the realism that it adds to it. And so like in a horror movie you get that much more like, holy cats, this could happen on my street.
Yeah.
Or like in an erotica, like, oh, I gotta look down Fifth Street and see if anything's going on down there. You gotta look past Philly AIDS Rift and see if anybody's hanging out on the street.
Yeah, I mean, it for me, as the writer, it makes it more real. So I guess, you know, if you're a reader and you're in Philly or you know Philly, then, you know, I think you would probably have the same connection.
And then I've always remembered the thing Angelina Jolie said about when she was picking who she would play, the characters she would play. I don't know if this is still true of her anymore, but back in the day, she used to say that she only picked characters that were people that she would want to sleep with or that she would want to date. So when you're writing characters, are these people that you want to fuck?
I would say so. I mean, if I don't want to fuck them, why would you want to read about them fucking?
Okay.
I mean, I have to be, you know, emotionally involved. I mean, I would say when I'm writing, I'm in love with everyone that I'm writing about. You know, I like to get in their heads. I mean, that's even more personal than fucking them, really, you know? So, yeah, I mean, when I'm writing, I'm always into the person that I'm writing about.
So this is a labor of love as opposed to just like, I know that this will sell, or just making it as broad of a template as possible so that people can project onto it.
I've done stuff where I thought, you know, this will probably sell, but I have to put my own personal stamp on it. And if I can't do it straight up just for money, like it just doesn't happen. You know, like I rarely write straight sex, and if I do, there's a power dynamic in it where I bring in like the BDSM. Like in Wolf Moon, Red is the main character, Red with two D's. It's a Wolf Moon, Red's First Ride. It's set in an alternative history. It's in sort of an alternate universe America. So there's still a lot of racism. The werewolves are sort of like a native population, and the humans are sort of like the immigrant population who came in and enslaved everybody. So there's still a lot of racism there. There's a north-south dynamic. Red is very racist. She's very spoiled. Her dad is a senator, you know, very like sort of old money, deep south sort of people. So she's used to always getting her own way. She's very rich. She's really spoiled. So she's got this boyfriend and she dominates him and he loves it and he's just really into it. And then she goes to her grandmother's cottage to go and check on it. Her grandmother, incidentally, is a secret underground railroad person for the werewolves. So there's a really interesting twist on there. It's going to be very suspenseful and very sort of thriller, yet very sexy. So when she meets the werewolf, he's the leader of the werewolf revolution. So she's, you know, of course, very racist, and he puts her in her place, and it's... and very, very hot sex ensues.
All right.
So, you know, and I'm in love with all these characters. I, you know, if I wasn't, I wouldn't write it in the first place. It just wouldn't happen.
So the interplay of your personal life and your writing, how much is there a crossover? Do you try things out before you write them? Do you write them because they happened? Like, how much?
There's a good mix of all of the above. Like I said, I mean, some of it's imagination, some of it's fantasies, some of it's stuff that I've done and I loved. And, you know, I mix it up, but, you know, I'm never going to tell what's what and how much is what, you know.
As well, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
So other things from your real life, you are a former dancer as well.
Yep.
So you want to talk about what that experience taught you or gave you or did you or whatever?
Well, I'm actually considering doing it again, and we'll see about that. I'm not sure. But I do pole fitness, which I absolutely love. It's a really intense, hard workout. It's sexy. It's fun. My body hurts for days afterwards, but, you know, it's just so much fun. I don't care. And it's basically gymnastics on a vertical pole. So I think that's mainly what, you know, I really took away from the dancing experience. But I think it definitely made me view men in a certain way. And, I mean, obviously, I only date women, but I can definitely get into the femdom, you know. That's where my line is. You know, if I can treat a guy like shit and he loves it, that's fucking hot to me. You know, smack them around, make them be my bitch. It's hot. So
that's interesting. Is that a common exchange with dancers and patrons?
I mean, it depends. It's always different with every client, you know. But it's been a long time for me. It's been a while. So, you know, I don't really have anything very super current to say about it. But I am writing a series called Lula Lisbon's Diaries of a Dirty Dancer, and it's a semi-autobiographical series. Some of it's inspired by stuff that I've done, some of it's sort of fantasy that I wish I had done, or, you know, so I'm not going to tell what's what, but it's very sexy, and I'm actually going to start doing audiobooks, I think, so that might actually be my first audiobook.
Which is an excellent segue to the next thing we're going to do. So the Diary of a Dirty Dancer, correct?
Yes.
So you have an excerpt from it to read for us, correct?
Yes, I do.
All right. Let's get that together, and I'm excited to hear this.
This is an excerpt from my story, Lula Lisbon's Diaries of a Dirty Dancer, Lesbian Lap Dance, which is a semi-autobiographical series that I'm working on based on my experiences as a dancer. I didn't go right over to the couple because that would have been too easy for them. It's not good to give away your power. You play hard to get, you tease, you play cat and mouse with your prey. So I stopped at a handful of guys first, flirting, a playful touch on the arm here, innuendo and a naughty grin there, collecting dollars in my cleavage in the back of my G-string. But I was saving the big guns for the couple. I know expensive clothes and an interested woman when I see one, for sure. I smiled warmly into her eyes as she watched me stalk over, as balanced and at ease in my 6-inch platform heels as I was barefoot. "Hi, honey, I'm Lula," I drawled. I liked the nervous desire she exuded. It turned me on. "I just love your necklace, and what a great dress. Your curves look amazing." "Thanks," she stammered. I thought it was adorable, and my smile widened. "Here's some free advice. If you have fears about talking to attractive women, take it from me as a current lesbian and former dancer and follow this conversational formula. Pick out something she's wearing to compliment, but make it a genuine compliment. Don't say it if you don't mean it. Touch her in a natural and non-threatening way, on her arm or her hand. Ask her about herself and listen to her. Bring up similar interests, draw parallels and little double entendres into the conversation, and bring subtle attention to parts of your body. Before long, you'll be drowning in phone numbers. I traced the line of her necklace with one finger, stopping just above the deep plunge of her delectable cleavage to finger the sparkling teardrop-shaped gemstone. With interest, I noted her breath catching and the blush rising to her cheeks. "I'm Jessie," she said at last. I could tell she was struggling to keep her composure, and I loved it. "And this is my husband, Rob." I accepted his proffered hand, acknowledging him briefly, but the majority of my attention was on Jessie. This was all part of my script. "Your first time here, Jessie?" I let my fingers trail down her arm, tracing the sensitive skin on the tender inside of her elbow, the smooth inner forearm. I could feel her skin raising goosebumps, and it made my pussy wetter in response. I heard her sharp intake of breath, saw her porcelain skin blush charmingly. I sat down in the booth, very close to her. She nodded slowly, her eyes flickering between the deep valley of my generous breasts and my face. "It's my birthday, and, well, I've always been curious. Rob had to drag me here. He said I'd have fun. I haven't made up my mind yet." She sipped nervously at a glass of red wine, hand trembling slightly. I leaned over and whispered huskily in her ear. "Well, I have a secret for you. I can't resist uninitiated women, especially ones as sexy as you. May I have the honor of being your first?" My hand snaked around her soft waist, caressing the luscious curve of her full hip. My breasts brushed lightly against hers, and I could feel her nipples hardening into pebbles under the thin black silk of her dress. Jessie glanced at her husband, who was watching the scene with interest. His eyes met mine, and I winked. "I'd love for you to dance for my wife in the champagne room," he said, smiling, "as long as I can watch." I laughed. I wouldn't have it any other way. This is an excerpt from my story, Back Alley Slut. I break the kiss, and I see the dizzy dismay in your eyes. "Give it to me, or I'll take it," I growl. Lust and fear compete for control inside you. I can read them on your pretty face as clearly as clouds crossing the darkening October skies. I pretend to lose patience. In one smooth motion, I appropriate the coat, tearing it off you by one lapel, carelessly tossing it aside against the weather-stained brick wall. You gasp, wrapping your arms around your scantily clad body, suddenly frigid in the cool fall gloaming. Put your arms down, I bark. Did you obey me and wear everything I told you to? Nodding miserably, shivering, you comply with my command. I grin wolfishly, and my eyes rake your body, absorbing every delicious detail. I'm thoroughly titillated by what I see. A tight black cropped cami with red lace bra underneath. Shiny black micro mini that might as well be a belt for all it covers. Ruffled black garter belt holding up black fishnet stockings. Red patent leather stripper heels. You're as nervous as a first-time hooker here in the tiny courtyard outside my door, and it's an incredibly potent aphrodisiac. I back you up into the corner next to my front door, and against the rough brick wall, I pin both your wrists above your head with one hand. My denim-clad leg tucks between the ruffled garters on your fishnet-clad thighs and rubs your already wet pussy underneath your slutty little skirt. My chest pressing against your huge tits, I take your jaw in my other hand, angle your face slightly, and shove my tongue in your mouth. One of my many gestures demonstrating that I'm in charge, that you're my eager whore, and that I'll always make you mine. Mine, always mine. I move my hot, wet mouth from yours to your earlobes. I bite and nibble your neck in the spots that are so easy for me to find. In a husky undertone, I describe exactly what I'm going to make you do to please me, enjoying your small noises of passionate obeisance. I grind my thigh deliberately against you, silently cursing the thin fabric between my flesh and your pulsing clit. The contact forces a brief, high-pitched squeal from your damp throat. I pull away and look you in the eyes, order you to take off your panties and hand them to me. You gasp and hesitate for just a second. Did I stutter, you little back alley slut? Do it now! Your heart pounding, you bend down and submit, quickly unsnapping your garters, dropping the panties to your dainty ankles, and resnapping each of the four garters back onto your fishnet stockings. I stand there, arms crossed, avidly watching your every movement. Finally, you shyly hand me your scanty, soaking panties. I hold them up for inspection and glide my fingers against the soaked cotton crotch. Staring into your eyes, I slowly apply the wetness to my lips like gloss. I lick my lips, testing, and make a noise of approval. Your eyes widen, feeling your freshly shaven pussy throb with need. I grab your wrist suddenly, roughly, and force you around to face the bricks of the courtyard's inside corner. I use your wet panties to tightly tie your hands behind your back. You feel me pressing behind you, your cheek forced against the chilly dividing wall. I grind my turgid cock against your bare bottom, moving slightly, just enough to tease, just enough to make you gasp, just enough to make you drip. My arms snake around your waist, sliding into the bottom of your tight crop top. My hands move up and grasp your luscious tits, their sweet pink nubs straining like diamonds against that lacy bra you know I like. I pinch your nipples suddenly and viciously. You jump and moan. I feel your juices start to soak through my jeans and it drives me wild. I keep working my dong slowly against the sweet curve of your ass and you whimper. I smile. I'm just getting started. I lick my lips, tasting the lingering musky sweetness of your essence. I feel an answering gush of my own wetness. It runs slowly down the silky lips of my just-shaven snatch. Almost involuntarily, my fuck-ready hips grind against your tight bum and I inhale your scent. Sweet, musky, vanilla flower sexy. I feel you quivering against me, caught between my hot body and the cold wall, hands tied tight with your own moist panties. You're hyper-aware of the city's cacophony, dreading being caught, wondering what I'll do next. Your fear only intensifies my excitement. I graze my lips tenderly against the back of your neck, silk against silk, tongue darting out to taste how your skin tingles from my touch. I roll your nipples between my fingers, light, then hard, hard, then light, unpredictably enjoying the trembling it conjures through your body. Your uncontrollable panting sets my cunt on fire with the need to fuck you senseless. I can't help but bite your taut neck hard, then licking, then biting again, testing you, testing your limits, testing your desire, reveling in your fear and lust. I feel it coming from your skin like clouds of steam, and it's a stream of electricity straight to my swollen clit, sensually snug behind its huge strap-on cock. My touch glides over your skin, and with your hands bound, you're helpless to control what I do. Your body trembles like prey in a trap. My hands leave you, leaving your skin to cool, then return. You feel the icy touch of metal against your back, and for a split second you feel utter panic. You hear the soft snick of scissors cutting your tiny shirt from the moist heat of your skin. I'd had a pair tucked into my back pocket for just this reason. Your tiny clothes fall away, one by one, like dead leaves, dropping limply aside onto the dirty, cracked concrete. First your tight top comes away, and then your lacy bra is cut apart, and then your short skirt. I leave the garter belt in stockings. I want to fuck you just like that. You hear my breath come harder. You know I'm pleased. You feel cool air. My fingers rake across the damp expanse of your freshly bared nudity.
Yay!
This is an excerpt from my story Doubled, which is about a beautiful ex-model who's now a scientist working on top secret government technology. She clones herself and sexy things ensue. It's my first novelette, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. It's called Doubled. She took my hand and traced the lines in my palm with one gentle fingertip. "We can find out," she told me, meeting my eyes with an intensity that brought another hot blush to my cheeks. I arched an eyebrow, heart suddenly beating too fast. "Find out what?" I tried to muster as much innocence in my tone as I could. She gazed at me steadily, an odd look in her face, and I felt a delicious rush through my entire body. It really was like looking in a living mirror, yet at the same time we were distinct, and I couldn't stop thinking about her naked under that lab coat, how absolutely sexy she was. I wanted to taste every inch of her skin. I'd been dreaming of kissing another woman for so long, but I'd always been too busy or too scared to ever do anything about it. Looking into her eyes, I knew she knew everything, all my secret hopes, fantasies, and desires, because she'd had them as well. Captivated by her, I was drowning in her gaze, even as my heart pounded anxiously. "Whether this counts as masturbation," Lily replied, grinning impishly. "But I'm going to say it doesn't, because there's two people here." Slowly, Lily trailed soft fingertips down my cheek, smiling as I pushed my face into her hand like a cat starved for attention. Her eyes dropped from mine to watch her fingers descent along the line of my collar, skimming the cleavage just slightly revealed by my button-up shirt. I shivered with desire and anticipation, my breath coming harder. My eyes drifted closed as she slid into my lap, soft lips grazing the hot, hard pulse of my neck. She planted tiny kisses in a staccato line, making her way down to the opening of my shirt. The oversized lab coat slipped again from her shoulders. She shrugged it impatiently off, letting it fall to the floor before returning her attentions to my exposed skin. My hand snuck around her bare waist, and I traced her slim curves, so familiar yet so strange. I felt almost as if I were out of my body, as if I were someone else, or in a dream as someone else. This was the most erotic experience I'd ever had, and no man had ever excited me like this, had ever felt this good, had ever known just how to touch me. Lily's skin was so silky, and I couldn't get enough of her. I held her shoulders, keeping her close, as her hot little tongue darted out to taste the valley of my cleavage. My head fell back as she laved my breasts, yanking open my shirt to expose them further. My nipples were almost painfully hard, pebbled in my white lace bra. Lily caught them between thumb and forefinger, rolling them through the thin fabric, and I groaned as I felt my pussy soaking through my panties. She pulled my face to hers, and I gasped as her lips met mine. It was my first kiss with another woman, and my heart skipped a beat. Her skin was so smooth, her lips inviting and warm, her hair falling in wisps of silk against me. Though I'd pictured it many times, I couldn't have imagined how wonderful it truly was to kiss another beautiful woman. Lily's wet tongue slipped inside my mouth, insistent and demanding.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing those. So, who is your target audience? I mean, are you aiming specifically for lesbians, or are you happy with anybody who enjoys it?
I'm honestly happy with anyone who enjoys it. I mean, if I can appeal to a queer audience, that'd be fantastic. I know I have male fans. I have about 1,500 followers or something like that on Twitter. So I know that I have several male fans who've reached out and told me that they enjoy my work. And I really appreciate that. I love to hear from my fans. So, you know, I'm happy if my fans are happy. It doesn't really matter to me who they are.
I think it is interesting to see the power dynamic stuff plays out in the way that it seems like there is a tendency for the Dom in some of these to be the butcher one. And the sub, at least in the stories that you just mentioned, the excerpt from the Back Alley Slut, and then talking a little bit about the characters where the one lived in Chestnut Hill. And
yeah,
like, is that like a regular feature where the Dom?
Well, not and gender- always. I mean, in Doubled, I mean, it's her clone, but they're both femme. So the clone just happens to be a little bit more dominant and, so she takes control. So I'm going to be writing more stuff where it's not butch femme, but I like the butch femme dynamic. But, you know, as me personally, I think it's hot. I know some people aren't as much into that. And, you know, I'm going to be writing more where it's, you know, on more equal footing and not necessarily that sort of dynamic.
Yeah. I'm just curious because I'm not really necessarily sure like what all is out there. And I know that there's like a prevailing sort of societal norm where, you know, power dynamics tend to go one direction based on gender. And like the nice thing about queer relationships is that, you know, you can play with that a lot more. There's a lot more variety and less rigid roles.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's what I love about it. It's just... I write what I think is hot, but I think a lot of things are hot. So, you know, and there's only so much time in a day to write. So I have millions of ideas. It's just getting the time to write them all down, but it'll happen. It'll just be a little while.
You can be like Stephen King and just keep cranking them out.
I hope so. I hope one day I have that kind of discipline.
I hear cocaine works for him. So,
well, apparently tobacco and alcohol copious amounts works for him. So I don't smoke, but maybe I should drink more.
Who was it that said, like, I feel like it was Hemingway, but somebody was like, write while drunk and then edit while sober.
Well, I'll admit I've done some writing while drunk, but, it's not like a regular thing that I do. You know, it's not like I'm drunk, you know, I'll be like buzzed and, you know, that usually makes me more horny. So that kind of works out.
All right. So for the folks who, want to know more, they want to read more of the stuff, they want to find your books and your short stories, where do they go?
Well, you can check out my website. It's lulalisbon.com. You can also find my titles on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Smashwords, iTunes, Diesel. I know there's a couple more in there, but just if you Google my name, you'll be able to find me.
Lula Lisbon, like the city.
Well, actually, I picked that pen name because it's reminiscent of cunnilingus, and it also sort of sounds like lesbian. So the movement that your mouth makes when you say it is like eating pussy. So, and it's just, I also, there was no other Lula Lisbons out there when I first started writing, so I dominate the web presence.
So that can be also people's like test when you meet people, like have them say your name and then whether it goes well or not, you know, whether or not to continue talking with them and ask for their number. Like,
yeah, if they can't say my name, then, you know, they're not going to get in my pants.
Lula Lisbon. Just saying. Unique New York. Lula Lisbon. All right. Thank you so much, Lula Lisbon.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
And thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimmare@gmail.com.
and thank you.